The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll, the award-winning global payroll, expatriate tax and online HR tool partner, is expanding and opens its Singapore office this month.
Hello and welcome to the North Sound Energy Week podcast. I'm Finlay Duncan. This week we marked 1 year to go until the referendum on Scottish independence. We hear from both sides on the possible impact on the energy industry. A leading recruiter says oil and gas wages are set to rise by 15% on average this year, and an Aberdeen energy firm celebrates its 125th birthday. But first, we begin with the Liberal Democrat conference, which is due to a close on Monday. Party activists broke with tradition and voted in favour of nuclear power for the first time in their history. Members voted in support in limited circumstances. Westminster Energy and Climate Change Secretary Ed Davey told their conference it would be reckless to rely on coal and gas. He also talked of renewable sources of energy.
For years, the huge wind potential from Scotland's islands, the Orkneys, Shetland and the Western Isles, has been well known, but today, Liberal Democrats are acting. I am publishing new plans to unlock the green energy promise of Scotland's islands.
An Aberdeen-based energy firm agreed to be taken over this week by oil and gas explorer Spike Exploration. Bridge Energy's deal with the firm values the business at £103 million. Shares in the company rose by nearly 30% in trading on Monday lunchtime. Bridge holds several production licences in the UK North Sea, drilling 18 exploration and appraisal wells. The UK Department of Energy and Climate Change has this week cleared development of an oil field in the central North Sea. Production's expected to start late next year on the Enugu area, following the green light from officials. The ConocoPhillips and Chevron co-venture is expected to produce an initial peak rate of more than 10,000 barrels of oil equivalent a day. It's the fourth field to be developed in the Greater Britannia area. In the week we marked 1 year to go until the independence referendum, a top Westminster figure claims Scottish oil firms wouldn't be able to secure big contracts with state-owned companies without the UK government backing them up. Former Chancellor Ken Clark says they've helped Northeast firms secure more than £50 million worth of contracts in Brazil. He says negotiating with firms like Petrobras is major league power politics and reckons that's a good reason for Scotland to remain part of the UK. I spoke to him this week during a visit to an oil company in Dice.
I've been addressing an Institute of Directors conference, giving the keynote speech on the economy, on the fact that we've still got some good way to go, but we're beginning to show the signs of recovery, but it require more hard work by a government that puts the national interest first to produce a healthy, balanced recovery and produce a better, more competitive economy than we had when we went into the financial crisis. And then I'm visiting this company where we are now, which is one of the many specialist niche companies in the Aberdeen area, who are leading the world, really, in the technology of undersea oil exploration. And one of my jobs in government is to be the minister who goes sometimes to Brazil and meets Brazilians here, helping with the political problems that sometimes occur of getting expertise from northeast Scotland into the development of huge underwater oil and gas reserves in Brazil, because Aberdeen is really now got some companies who are world leaders in the technology you have to extract oil at that depth.
In terms of getting the economy back on track, how key a part does the energy industry here play in that then? And you mentioned Brazil, we're obviously 14 linked.
Well, the energy industry, fortunately, is doing very well. There's a surge of investment in the North Sea. Aberdeen has moved on from just being the place from which the North Sea was served and becoming an international centre of expertise, so we're looking for exports. The Scottish economy is actually recovering better than any part of the United Kingdom, with the exception of London and the South East. It's not recovering as quickly as London and the South East. And I think we're very mutually dependent in the modern age. But Scotland is, you know, showing every sign of benefiting from a slow move back to a healthier, more balanced economy, getting us out of the financial crisis we inherited.
On that topic, you were speaking to the Institute of Directors as well about next year's independence referendum. We've got just over a year to go. Why is it you think that Scotland is better off in the Union?
I think we have a highly sophisticated, interconnected economy. As the debate's gone on, people have asked questions about, well, exactly how would you disentangle all the aspects of economic policy, from big things like how we sort out what currency we have and how we do divide the debts, to other things about how would conditions, you know, change either side of the border, how you'd avoid setting up trading barriers. With great respect to the advocates of Scottish independence, I think it was quickly revealed that they hadn't thought of half the serious questions. And I just think in the 21st century, the Scots, English, Welsh and Ulstermen can keep their cultural identity and their nationhood perfectly intact without going in for a slightly eccentric process of trying to disentangle the interwoven connections on a day-to-day, earning our living, investing in business, exporting overseas, that we do best as the United Kingdom.
Industry leaders have been very careful not to make a view on it, saying that whatever the outcome, they'll continue to do business in the North East. Have you got any sense of which they prefer?
I've been in business a bit when we're in opposition, and businesses don't engage in political campaigning. I mean, you're just going to upset some of your customers. Some businessmen do put their head above the parapet, but by and large, they keep down. I actually do genuinely believe, not just arguing my case, the overwhelming majority of the business community want to keep the union and haven't the first idea quite what the consequences would be if suddenly pulled out and find themselves in a smaller nation state trying to give itself a sort of separate economic base. And occasionally they say that. My own judgment is it is we all benefit in our economic activities by the integrated nature of our economies, and by the fact we have a bigger collective voice in all the places where we have to count, like the European Union, the G7, G20, World Trade Organization. I mean, small companies get by very nicely in niches, but Scotland's voice would be tiny and the UK's voice would be diminished if we, for some reason, started taking it all apart.
The Scottish government's argument seems to be, look at smaller nations such as Norway, they have an oil fund, and it's very much, rather than having a voice on the world stage, making a better job of looking after yourselves.
Well, Norway has it's a very nice country, a very successful country. It has vast oil reserves in proportion to its population, bigger, longer lasting than probably the Scots are likely to be. And it does have a very narrow economic base. It has oil and it has fish. And actually they devote a lot of their oil fund to try to diversify the economy, looking ahead to the future when they can no longer just let the oil flow. Now, we've actually got quite a few years left in the North Sea yet. But, you know, just to say you just float along on an oil fund and the North Sea runs out in, say, 40 years' time, and you make Scotland totally dependent on the ups and downs of the wildly volatile energy market, that's not the future for young Scots who want to be in a much more balanced, secure market, able to compete in today's globalised economy. And I just don't find that it's a mistake to think the Norwegian alternative can be actually achieved by the Scots, but also not very desirable. They're better off where they are, and the Scottish economy eventually will be, have no oil and gas, but is more than oil and gas now.
Just lastly, Alistair Darling saying to us, the chair of the Better Together campaign, saying to us yesterday that one of his main concerns ahead of the referendum next year is complacency, that we could sleepwalk into this. You mentioned it being a political argument at the moment. Do you think that if people don't engage with it, that actually we could sleepwalk into
this? Yeah, I think, I do think, you know, the moment we look well ahead, and so it's a terrible mistake to get complacent. We need to make sure that everybody who has satisfied themselves that it is altogether safer and wiser in the modern world to keep the union needs to be persuaded to go and vote, because the history of referenda is the turnout is usually very low, and referendums are very difficult to forecast because they often depend on the events of the previous 2 or 3 weeks. That is a risk in all referendums. I think feel a little less in Scotland, because my sense is the Scottish public are seriously engaged. I mean, nobody up here seems to doubt that this is a very serious question, and you can't go out and just cast a protest vote against the latest thing that's annoyed you, or make a kind of romantic gesture. This really is extremely key to the prosperity and security of our children, as it were, and I think with any luck, the Scots are going to take it seriously.
Meanwhile, the First Minister says the vote next September is a chance for Scotland to change course. Alex Salmond says the renewables industry, coupled with the oil and gas sector, can help fuel the economy.
Well, I think it's very exciting, and obviously the pace is going to quicken over the next year. But we've had a whole rash of opinion polls over the weekend, which basically are good news for the yes side. They show, for example, that when people who are not sure or don't know are asked to make a choice, they swing fairly heavily towards yes, putting the yes votes up to 48%. Another poll showed that if people believe that Westminster is going to offer us nothing, and incidentally, that would be the consequence of a no vote, and they'll put Scotland in the dustbin for 20 years, then people again swing fairly decisively towards a yes vote. And obviously, if people believe that Scotland's going to be better off, and I think we can demonstrate that, then a yes becomes a majority vote in the polls this morning. So, you know, polls go one way and the other, and it's not often the best indication. But there's some underlying trends which would give the yes camp cause for optimism. Well, let's put it this way. It's game on. Without any question, it's game on. And this is something we can do. If we can demonstrate over the next year to people in Scotland that this country won't just be more successful, more prosperous, which it will be, but also more just and more equal. So not just a prosperous country, but a more equal society. I think what's interesting is there's very strong indications now that people who are not sure, and incidentally, that is a huge number of people, when they either have information or alternatively are asked to make a choice, tend to come down in the yes direction. It's a perfectly legitimate thing for people to say, well, I'm not sure. I don't have to make a decision until next year. I'll engage with this debate when I think it's time for me to engage with the debate, not when politicians want me to engage with it, but when I've got time and, you know, whatever happening in my life and family, I'm going to think about the future of the country and politics when I've got time to engage in the debate. Absolutely legitimate opinion for people to have. Is wait for to engage in the debate. But the interesting thing is, as people do engage in the debate, when people go along to meetings, when they ask the questions, when they get the information, then there's overwhelming evidence that they tend to swing towards a yes vote. And that's one of the reasons I've got such underlying confidence, faith in the ability of the Scottish people to come to a very positive conclusion. Because as the debate quickens, as the information is provided, as people come to a conclusion and engage with the debate, then I think the momentum switches to the yes campaign. I mean, I think any politician who says, oh, well, it's a year ago and a poll show me, I mean, you know, I remember how the Labour Party came a cropper at the last Scottish elections. They thought it was all over by the shouting because they were 15 points ahead with 3 months to go. In fact, what happened is they ended up 15 points behind, basically because the SNP had an argument to put forward. We had a record team and vision. And my experience in politics is if you can win the debates and win the arguments, then you can win the election and win the referendum. So all to play for. And from the yes camp's point of view, we're going to put forward a very positive vision and a very positive argument for Scotland's future as a prosperous country, but also as a just society.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll, the award-winning global payroll, expatriate tax and online HR tool partner, is expanding and opens its Singapore office this month.
Fuel retailers were this week urged to immediately ease pressure at the pumps and pass on a drop in wholesale prices to motorists. The RAC says a litre of unleaded has sold wholesale for 6p less since the end of August. Diesel was down by 2p a litre. Says the lower prices mean petrol stations have the power to reduce charges on the forecourts. It's claimed oil and gas wages will rise by 15% this year. The poll by oilandgaspeople.com says the employees will take home close to £74,000 on average this year. It's being pushed up by the skill shortage in the industry. Almost half of those surveyed think that's largely down to skilled workers getting jobs abroad instead of in the North Sea. Oil and Gas People says the study shows demand is reaching an all-time high with increased investment in the region. An Aberdeen-headquartered firm's celebrated its 125th birthday this week. KCA Deutag's one of the world's leading drilling contractors and operates more than 100 rigs in over 22 countries worldwide. Earlier this year, the company announced the award of $1.5 billion contract with Statoil. Jack Winton, Senior Vice President of Operations at KCA Deutag, says the oil and gas industry represents a continued success story.
Very excited about the future. The industry is incredibly buoyant at the moment across the world, and we're taking the advantage to grow into new areas, look at new opportunities, build on the recent contract awards we've had, and give great opportunities to our employees around the world. We'll certainly be taking the opportunity to celebrate throughout the year, as will all our offices around the world. So we're quite excited, and we're very proud about the fact that we've operated successfully for 125 years.
And rounding off the week, the finalists for this year's Oil and Gas UK Awards were announced. Three names are on the shortlist for each of the five categories. The event's designed to celebrate and share the achievements of the industry's most talented people. The ceremony takes place at the Aberdeen Exhibition and Conference Centre on the 7th of November. More than half of the tickets for the Shell UK-sponsored event have already been sold. And that's it for this week's Energy Week podcast. Don't forget, you can keep up to date with the latest energy news in the North Sound Energy Zone each weekday during breakfast on North Sound 1 and North Sound 2.
The North Sound Energy Week with Active Payroll, the award-winning global payroll, expatriate tax and online HR tool partner, is expanding and opens its Singapore office this month.